Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back with another episode of Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's a snack, Mac. We went to the kitchen. We grabbed a snack. It's a snack pack. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside sports, fantasy football, the draft. The NFL draft is tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And you'll hear, eventually, when that draft ends, the winners and losers from us at the Inside Sports Fantasy Football. And we'll go ahead and pop it up as soon as we get it done for you, right there for you at Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Plus also, as well, of course, Joe Soro is hanging around. He's probably going to come in here. Well, His Highness Joe Soro said he'll be there in a bit. So King Soro will be here, and, you know, he want to get a hold of him. He told you all of his social media stats, but also you can find him as OxideD47 at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and join up at LakersBall.com today and join the forum and chat there. Plus also, he owns a company you can support to help retain his lordship of the synthetic green realm. Go ahead and make sure you do that today at Simblades, simbladeswithy.com. Plus also as well, of course, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, since he's here first in the chat. Yo, also as well, of course, our good friends, Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet. Laker Tom has probably got some solace today because the Celtics choked on national television. Always good to see that. Go ahead and check out what he and Jamie Sweet are doing today at Lakerholics.com. Our good friend, John Costa. He is busy doing fatherly things, but when he's not doing fatherly things and when he's not on the show, he is at Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. Our good friend, Stone Hansen, I'm hoping to get him on tomorrow for a pregame. We will go ahead and discuss what's going on. Actually, I may have him on at a different point in time. He did send me a note just here. I just remembered he will probably be on soon, but he had to reschedule. I was going to have him on for the pregame, but does not look like the case, so I apologize for that. I misspoke, but he will get a chance to go ahead and see him sometime in the future. And if you do, you'll also see him as well on Twitter at @report_court. Our good friends also as well, Lakers in 5, Emperor Jeff TV, John McCallion Channel. Give them a big shout out. Plus also, of course, please like, follow, and subscribe. We've had almost 5,000 views in the past 4 days. No, 6,000. I'm sorry. 6,000 views in the past 4 days. And I'm trying to catch up to all the comments. So please make sure you throw those comments out there if you're watching us after the show. Also as well, like, share, follow, and subscribe. And if you have a Lakers fan out there, please, as a small little tiny little pea in the Lakers fan ocean out there, we could sure use your help by helping out the word right there for you at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Well, the Lakers, as Peruvian Guy says, and thank you, Roger, and thank you, everybody who's liking us on Facebook. Please follow us on Facebook to get the latest notifications of when we go live in the air with the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers do head into game 3. little bit more encouraging news. We did see more video of Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood. Christian Wood taking some shots. Jared Vanderbilt has the boot off. Looks good working out against the assistant coach. Not exactly a NBA player, but hey, it's a step up. So tomorrow we may see the insertion into the rotation of Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt. Are they here on time? No. But being here at all, will that help the Lakers cause any into taking two games here in LA? We will go ahead and discuss that, among other things, including tonight's playoff action, where we will rejoice the fact that, you know what, I am wearing green, but it's not Celtic green. It's South Torrance High Spartans green. But the other green in Boston lost tonight, and we'll go ahead and make sure we note that as well. But here today to start off the chat, good man indeed. This is the man from Toronto. He had to get out of Toronto traffic to lay on the couch and chat with you and hopefully not get smacked around too much from Joe today, but he's still typing as is. He's the man for Toronto. He did get out of Toronto traffic to do just that. It is, of course, Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here. If I could have you chit-chat and fingers off the keyboard so I could unmute you, I want to go ahead and ask you this. Game three is a must-win. There is no doubt about it because nobody comes back from a 3-0 deficit. Absolutely nobody. Will Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood, I know we touched on a little bit yesterday, but the Lakers keep showing you video. They keep allowing McTen and all the other reporters to show you video. Jovan Buchanan, there's a reason why they want you to see all that video. That means they're getting closer. So if they do come tomorrow to play, will they give you anything at all? Or is anything at all needed for the bench or from the bench in order to get the job done tomorrow night against Denver?
Well, Gerald, that's a great question. I will say this. Instead of using the Mendoza line as in baseball, I think we should use the Hashimura line.
JSJ, they're still listed. They're listed as questionable right now. They're not listed as out. They're not listed as not out. So we're not saying that they're going to play. Maybe.
So the Hashimura line. So will Jared Vanderbilt, Christian Wood coming back, average as much 3.5 points per game and 32% from the field? If either one of them do that, Gerald, that might be a Lakers victory.
Well, I do want to correct that their official status is out, but Mike Trudell says, Allen and JSJ, because I know you're reading the hard out, but the caveat is Mike Trudell says that both Jared and Vanderbilt and Christian Wood were limited participants in Wednesday practice, which did not include any full contact drills. We'll see what their official status is at 5 p.m. when the injury report comes out. So as of right now, they're out. But that could possibly change. Remember, it could change us from one day to the next. Kawhi, they changed his. So again, we'll see. I don't think they're going to give you too much at all. As far as it's concerned, I don't know how much you can ask for them since they've both been out 8 weeks each, you know, closing in on combined 16 weeks total, maybe, but both were out in what, halfway through March, beginning of March. Yeah. Oh, actually, Christian Wood's case, he was out since the All-Star break. So,
and you know, yeah. Gerald, ask your, everybody needs to ask the, we touched on it yesterday in depth, but just as a broad brush, ask yourself this question. If I was away from my job for 8 weeks and I came back, would I be a little bit rusty?
Oh, yeah.
In all self-analysis, being honest with yourself, definitely, right? Yes. So they're both going to be a little rusty. I will say this, though. If they reach that Hashimura line, 3.5 points per game, 32% from the field, I think it might lead to a Lakers victory because we only lost by 2 points last game. Disheartening and gut-wrenching as it was, If either one of those guys give you anywhere from 5 to 10 points,
if their status has changed. Yeah, if their status has changed. But again, when you're talking about a bench that only gave you 6 points in the last game,
although we are concerned that LeBron was 4 for 11 from the rim, Jared Vanderbilt has a known reputation for not being, I'll just say it nicely, Gerald, an adequate finisher at the rim. That's the nice way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Christian Wood could be 5 for 7 from three tomorrow, or he could be 1 for 8. It's just, it's a total crapshoot with him when it comes to 3-point shooting. And who knows if he's even going to get that kind of volume of shots. But somebody, anybody needs to make open shots tomorrow on a consistent basis and not be given the hook for somebody like Gabe Vincent and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are allergic to shooting.
Well, Alan is in the chat, and always great to have him here. He is one of our best and finest. A big shout out to you, Alan. Again, he's here for playback. He's here for our shows. Just cannot thank him enough for supporting us. You know, he doesn't want to fault Rui too much. He didn't get enough shots. True. 7 shots in 40 minutes-ish. Mm-hmm. That's not good. But you've got to make, I told him, those 2 of those shots that he missed when he went 1 for 7 were layups, were gimmies. That's the difference in the game. LeBron James, he missed 1 or 2 layups. As you talk about, Russell Westbrook did, as you've talked about LeBron James, when he's having his fatigue and whatnot, you see him start to miss layups and Russell Westbrooking it. And yes, he is very much, that's the difference right there too. Those missed layups, AD as well, those missed easy shots at the rim when they're not contested, that was, that's, you could say, among the many things, and I'm answering all the comments and whatnot, there's a myriad of reasons why the Lakers blew that 20-point lead. They have no excuse as far as overall when you talk about it, when it comes right down to it. But again, it is what it is. You could say it is because of this or because of that, because a whole myriad of factors played into them losing that lead. But it happened. You have to move on. You have to refocus. But you should go into LA knowing that, you know what, we had double-digit leads on them in both games. They are not perfect. They are not infallible. They can be beaten. We just have to put 4 quarters together in order to do so. And that, again, it needs to come down to the coaching to put that in their heads and put a game plan in that looks better than just 2.5 quarters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as daunting as it may seem, winning 4 out of 5 isn't a monumental task. It's really not. Winning 4 straight would be, but winning 4 out of the next 5 happens because you focus on each game at a time. That's the only way to look at it at this point. And you have 3 games at home. If you win all your home games and you win a game on the road, you create a situation where there's a game 7. And that's the way to look at it at this point. Win all your home games. If you win 3 of those, you guarantee yourself a 7th game.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was the last Skywalker. I know. Condolences to me.
Wow, man.
Right. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers are playing tomorrow. Game 3. We'll cover it all right here on the channel. Of course, Lakers Fast Break. Please follow us. We'll do our best to go ahead and provide you wall-to-wall coverage as only we can do right here at the Lakers Fast Break. It is the Magic Man, Sean Grice, and me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for listening. And also here today is, of course, Lord Soro himself, the man behind Sinblades, Lord of the Sinblades himself. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here. Game 3 is tomorrow. Still listed out, Jared Vanderbilt and Christian Wood, but they are getting closer and closer to return. We'll see. I don't know if they will be there or not, but I don't really expect much from them if they do. But what I do expect more of is, as what the Lakers were talking about today, they moved away from the excuses as far as refereeing, this, that. And they came down to look more introverted into themselves and understand that the missed layups that they had, those were the difference in the game. And as you pointed out on playback during those times, when you miss those layups in the first quarter, the second quarter, those can come back to haunt you in a big way.
Those are plays that have haunted them all year. They've lost God knows how many games because of them. And the fact that they're not being addressed by leadership on this team is, and it's taken how many games now, 87 games to finally look within. I'm not saying that there weren't questionable calls. I'm not saying there weren't things that were out of your control that happened, but you wouldn't have been in those positions if you just took care of the fundamentals. You have to make your layups. There's absolutely no excuse to miss layups when you're 6'8". And the athleticism that you have and the hands that you have to make those baskets. And I don't know if it can get done all of a sudden on a snap. I'd like it to happen, but these are issues that they've had. Offensive rebounding is something that's been killing them for 2 years. They don't have any bigs that do that besides Anthony Davis, which that one makes a little bit more sense. But then again, there's a fundamental team philosophy that needs to be there as well to have the court balance and also be able to get the rebounds when you need them. The rebounds are more important than court balance in a lot of ways, of course. The Lakers need to really, really, really look into their minds. And I'm talking every single one, not just the starters. I'm talking about Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm talking about Torian Prince, Jackson Hayes. And if Vanderbilt and Christian Wood are to come back, we know that you're not going to have the stamina right out the gate, but I'd like to think that Christian Wood could at least box and Vanderbilt could at least get in front of somebody if you're not going to be able to contribute in other ways. Those are things I'd like to think that they're still training to do. You start by winning tomorrow, then you cut the lead in half. If you win on Saturday, now you start to create some momentum for the first time in 2 years against a team that's been beating you. And that's where it stands at this point.
One Peruvian guy, and I always appreciate when you're stopping by, my friend. He asked you, Joe, and I'll get it over to Magic Man because I got a question for you, Magic Man. Peruvian guy says, Joe, should Max Christie get some minutes? Because I want to hear your definitive no before I go ahead and turn it over to
no, Max. This is too big for Max. Max is not, unfortunately, Max Christie is just not an NBA talent in my book. I'm not the only one. For those of you who refuse to believe it, when you get through your denial, you'll eventually see it. It's not to denigrate the kid. It's just he's not good enough. He could improve maybe on a team. Sure, that's happened before, but it's just not likely. His game is just not made for the NBA game. He'd have to go into Kobe mode in his training to probably improve a little bit. But very few people in the history of sports have ever done things like that. So the answer to that is no, absolutely not. Not going to work. And there's really, it's really an unfortunate situation too, because it's things like that that have kept the Lakers from not having that depth that could help them in these kind of games. Being able to get someone that could shoot just for 10 minutes, someone that could sustain the player that's in front of them for 10 minutes a game throughout the year, and less wear and tear on the guys that are starting. These little details matter. They matter greatly, but it's not in the cards this year. The only way the Lakers make any noise from here on out is their starters are going to have to play to their highest capabilities, and it cannot be compromised. It cannot be compromised in any way. You cannot play 38 minutes, Rui Hachimura, and only score 3 points. Even if, and I know they're not running plays for you to get into a rhythm. That doesn't work when you miss layups. That actually makes the coaching staff probably less likely to give you a plays, because you're missing the basic plays, and you know it's going to be much more difficult to depend on you when you're shooting from 22 or 23 feet. It's a lot of things. You can't pinpoint it to one thing or the other. It's a lot of things. And try to control the stuff you can control. Make your layups. Stop breaking the offense into an ISO game when you don't have to, which they did a lot in that third quarter.
Magic Man, I want to ask you this. Let me get you back on here. Alan pointed out something that I've been saying over the past few days, and that is that Reeves and Rui have been expending so much energy on defense. Rui being one of the primary guarders against either Porter or Jokic, and then you have Reeves playing predominantly on Murray, and you know, 18 of 48 on Murray. You can't ask for much better defense than that. Yeah, he hit the shot. We know. But 18 of 48, if somebody told me that he would go 18 of 48 in two games, I would say that's a damn good job of defending him. Be that as it may, it is taking out, and as I've said this over the course of the past couple of games, it is taking a lot out of their offense, especially Reeves. But as far as the three-pointers, you kind of have to let that slide because of the energy that they're putting out there. But when it comes to making layups, that's something, whether no how much energy that you're expending out there on defense, executing layups, yeah, that's something, those 1 to 2 foot shots, you should be able to make those almost at will at any point in time during a given game, no matter how much energy that you expend.
That's correct, Gerald. And I think...
especially when they're not contested and they're wide open for the most part, like they have been.
Well, and, you know, we've talked about Rui and his inconsistencies balancing an offensive game with a defensive game, you know, since the time he was basically... Well, he had a nice tournament for the Zags, but as Gerald points out, I think he was taken a little too high than where he should have been ranked. He's okay. He's not going to be a 25-5 player. We know his inconsistencies on defense. I think the book was iffy on Austin Reeves, Gerald, but we saw international scouting really take a deep dive into how to make Austin Reeves kind of a non-plus, zero-sum player. And you saw in FIBA how much he had to work defensively, and he was neutralized. His effectiveness was neutralized on Team USA by teams going at him defensively and or making him exert himself more so on the defensive end because he becomes a less effective offensive player. And again, Austin is a very good player. He is. But he does have his limitations, and he can't improve on those limitations. That's kind of the bugaboo, fly in the ointment, so to speak, about his game. And so you have to live with those flaws. And unfortunately, when Rui is so flawed and Austin is so flawed and the bench is flawed, it just creates a compounding problem that only a guy like Eric Spoelstra could solve, really. I mean, there's really no other head coach I can think of. If you replace Darvin Ham with anybody else except Spo, I think you might have slightly better results here and there, but for the most part, you're going to end up at the same with the same results.
I want to ask you this, Joe. Paco is in the chat, and I appreciate you stopping by, Paco. Please like and subscribe to get the latest notifications and when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break. He says, you and I, not you, Sean, you and I are happy. It's usually I'm not singled out. I'm the one ignored. That's just me. It's me and Joe this time. We're happy that LeBron played good in game two, Joe, but mad at the rest of the Lakers for losing. LeBron didn't execute down the stretch after he hit that three. So again, as I'm telling everybody in the comments, as I'm going back in the comments from the past couple of days and I'm typing in there, it's a shared blame. It's not just one person. It's not just one entity. It's not just the refs. It's a shared organizational blame why they're down 0-2 heading back to LA, Joe. But again, Joe, we seem to be happy, according to Paco, that, you know, LeBron had a good game.
Well, it goes to show you there's a reason why there's college courses and comprehension. To put things in easy terms for everyone.
I feel so warm with this blanket that Paco
just put over there. I don't know where I was happy that LeBron had a good game. I wouldn't give two shits if he had had 90 points and they lost. It's the playoffs. You lose a game in the playoffs, doesn't matter what the stats were. Here's a stat for you all, especially you, Paco. You want to know how many points the bench has besides Taurean Prince? It's the same amount of information that you know about us. Zero. That's four players off the bench. That's a nine-man rotation. And only one guy out of that four has scored points. That's how bad the Lakers' depth is. One. And by the way, one of their starters scored 3 points. And yet they were still in this game. So you want to sit there and tell me that LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and D'Angelo Russell, and Austin Reeves' defense on Jamal Murray for 3 3/4 of a game wasn't good enough to win the game? You're right, it wasn't good enough, but this is a team game, isn't it? So there you go. The Lakers cannot afford to play bad against this team. They have to play smart. They have to play fundamental basketball.
So Paco is asking on top of that, if the Lakers get swept again, should we move on from LeBron? I said yes if he wants to ask for another 40 to 60 million, but the Lakers won't.
Should they move on? Yeah, but what's the alternative?
No, but if he wants too high of a ticket price, again, he could probably ask for whatever he wants because
I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about what the plan is after that.
True.
Are the Lakers coherent enough to adjust to that? I don't have a lot of confidence in that. I don't have any confidence at all, unless I see it now. Unless I see it, then I'll believe it. But they have no talent to move on from someone like LeBron James and bring back talent that's going to compete for a championship.
I didn't say it differently. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously.
Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer because it's just not. You have to look at the moving pieces.
But if he comes back in,
we saw what happened to the Lakers after Kobe kept getting injured in 2014, 15, 16, and 17. They were hiring coaches that didn't know what they were doing. They were bringing on players that didn't know what they were doing. They were drafting players that had some talent, but not good enough. I find it comical that in 2017 and 18, that the Celtics had the third pick overall in both drafts and were supposedly out of the two big picks, and they end up getting the two best players in that draft.
Kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. It means that the Lakers don't. They drafted all-stars. They drafted good players, but they're not capable of drafting, I guess, for need too. I know it's a crapshoot. I guess you can't really dog them for that because they did find some good gems.
I think Paco's trying to get us to commit to something here because he's saying again in the chat that, you know, if they get swept two straight years in a row with superstar, isn't it time to move on? It's not our choice whether it's time
Well, the Lakers got swept in 1998 and 1999 in consecutive seasons. They didn't let go of Shaq and Kobe.
I honestly, if you're trying to find the right answer, you got to ask the right question.
Yeah.
I'll placate him, Sean. I'll placate him. The Lakers, and this might make sense here to correlate it with what's going on. One of the biggest, the main deficiency that this team has actually is at the head coaching position. It's a major deficiency. It's not the only one, but it's the number one. So in 1998, they get swept by the Utah Jazz. And at that year, they won 60 games, and they had four All-Stars. They got swept by the Jazz in the Western Conference Finals. The following year, they got swept by the eventual NBA champion, San Antonio Spurs, in the second round. What did they do next? They finally bowed down, paid money for Phil Jackson. They went, took a lot of money, and paid for the best coach available at that time. My solution to your question is, if they get swept again this season, you better go find a coach that knows what the hell they are doing. And if you do that, I'd be more than happy to see LeBron come back. And for the love of God, can you please get a couple players in the offseason that can score more than 0 points? In a
Paco game? Says, no, you're wrong, Joe. Spurs 4-2.
In 99? If you're saying 99, you're wrong on 100%.
Let me go ahead and I'll look up 1999 playoffs.
I already know that answer.
Anyway,
I'm not looking.
Well, I'm just gonna say right now. Let me just finish this matching math real quick.
Go look at the 1999 second round division. I'm sorry, second round semifinal matchup: Lakers, Spurs. Spurs 4-0. Then they went to go face the Portland Trailblazers in the Western Conference Finals.
Can I just say something real quick, Magic Man, and I'll give it to you? Again, we saw when it was on an off day for him because he took the day off, LeBron sitting there with Linda Rambis on one arm and the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers in the other. That is the kind of power and the stroke that you want heading into an offseason where you can become a free agent and can dictate your price and how many years and whether or not you want to stay on the Lakers or not. That to me is full control of your situation. So regardless of what we think, it doesn't really matter because in the end, Jeannie's going to make the ultimate yay or nay. And if she wants him back, she'll get him back, Magic Man.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's just that simple. I'm not one I appreciate questions that are titillating. That being said, it's hypothetical right now because Denver still needs to win two more games to close out this series. That being said, ask yourselves this question. Who's a better coach, Michael Malone or Frank Vogel? Or is it a draw?
Well, right now it's proven to be Mike Malone.
I would say Michael Malone is a slightly better coach than Frank Vogel.
Frank Vogel might find himself out of the job at the end of the year.
Didn't matter in 2019, 2020, did it, Gerald?
No.
Didn't matter. Frank Vogel had better talent on his team. Now, 4 years ago, the Denver Nuggets didn't have Aaron Gordon on the roster. They didn't have KCP on the roster. And while people want to talk about Jokic being the best player in the world right now, he was top five 4 years ago. He was on the cusp of being one of the best players in the NBA. So there wasn't that big of a gap between Jokic and LeBron AD anyway. Fast forward, the Lakers, as Joe says time and time again, disintegrated a championship team, and yet the Lakers still find a way, deficient in talent versus the Denver Nuggets, to have double-digit leads in the barn of the defending champs with a deficient head coach. So I think people are asking themselves the wrong question here, because the fact of the matter is that even at 39 years old, and even with, you know, a temperamental Anthony Davis, you still found a way to gut check yourselves against the defending champs, even with all that chaos around you. So I think the wrong question is being asked. The question people should be asking themselves is, what do you do if you get rid of Darvin Ham and there's no LeBron James either?
Good point. Very good point. But again,
something's brewing, though. You and I talked about this off air, Sean. We've had a lackluster offseason the last few years, and even more lackluster trading deadline.
But we'll have more assets this time.
I think the NBA is due here. And you had mentioned something that I haven't stopped thinking about actually since you said it. Naz Reid wants to start, not that he won a sixth man of the year. And if Anthony Edwards is this Michael Jordan clone, like everyone in the world thinks he's going to be, and Rudy Gobert is going to win the defensive player of the year because all the assholes from the Northeast think he's the best thing since sliced bread. I would think that Minnesota might actually have an opportunity here to implement Naz Reid into the replacement of, let's say, Karl Anthony Towns. And in return, maybe get a Bam Adebayo, a Tyler Hero, and some draft capital, right?
I just want to add on to it, because remember, this is the first summer that the teams will be in the second apron that will have limitations on what they can do for movement. So there'll be less teams to fight or negotiate deals with. The Lakers are only above one apron. They're not above two as of yet. So they will have the opportunity to compete for players that they want to trade with a lot easier, because the Phoenixes, I think you could say to some extent Golden State, although again, how they manipulate the salary cap is remains to be seen. And other teams that are in the second tax, Boston, for instance, those teams will be more restricted, Joe, on how they can trade. So the Lakers may be a better option for some of those teams.
I'm thinking there might be more movement. The whole thing with Spider out in Cleveland. If Embiid decides that maybe I need to go play on a team with a little bit more depth, who knows? Trae Young, obviously, Atlanta, are they going to move away from him?
He was just theorizing. He was just saying.
This is a theory, guys. It's things that are brewing right now. And the Naz Reid thing was just conversation that Sean and I had away from the show.
I mean, we're going to get like 15 comments on that. He's just doing Laker Tom whatevs. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing anything Laker Tom does, just so for the record. I do what I do.
What Joe is saying is something I wholeheartedly agree with. We've been watching this game for decades, and there's going to be a earth-shattering moves this summer.
We'll see. They do have more assets, Magic Man.
And I wanna reiterate, Cravings had posted something very interesting too. I answered it on the chat. If the Clippers don't win, let's say they get beat by Dallas in the first round, do the Clippers go another direction without Ty Lue?
They have to contemplate that.
Okay, great. That could be something there, right? So let's just say the Lakers get swept. Ty Lue loses in five. With the Clippers, the Lakers might have some good fortune there.
That's a good point, Frank.
If he ends up getting fired by the Clips, I immediately get rid of Darvin Ham and go get Ty Lue. Immediately.
Obviously offer him a little bit longer.
Whatever. I don't care what the hell they offer him. Get that guy over there. Then you don't have to worry about at least the basic stuff.
But Frank is right. Especially if they change ownership in Minnesota, they're more likely to move cap first. Just wanted to let you know.
That's what Joe was saying.
Yeah. So
that's what Joe was saying.
Yeah. Naz Reid's going to be around Minnesota for quite some time.
A long time. He's not going anywhere. Yeah.
But
Joe makes a very, very interesting point here.
Alan, the reason why we're talking about season ending discussions is because maybe our instincts are telling us something. Sorry, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Joe, it's the Alamo. It feels like we're at the Alamo.
Yeah. Paco says Lakers are going to get swept, Joe. I beat you money, gave you the Lakers and the refs and 12 points.
You're gonna
12 points a game?
I bet you money.
No, he 12 beat.
Point, you're giving me 12 you, points, Paco, money, really?
I beat you money, gave you what? Gustavo, buenos dias. Buenas noches. Got to have you here.
Where's the Dak Prescott lookalike kid at? He said he's
hey, Paco.
John doesn't look like Dak Prescott.
Paco, get rewrite what you wrote.
What?
I don't know what that. I don't know what the transitions in your sentences were.
Yes, Ghost 1980. I guess you're looking for a knuckle me up sandwich from John Costa. You can find him on Lakers Corner to Clutch Talk. He's got channels there. Go ahead and message him there. He's here as a guest panelist.
I find that hilarious that Dak Prescott gets so much heat, just like Tony Romo got so much heat, just like Drew Bledsoe, just like any other Dallas Cowboy quarterback since Troy Aikman. Yet they don't go look at the problem that's been there since 1980.
All I say, Ghost 1980, when we were in the bubble and we toasted your ass, who was your daddy? It was us. And we'll leave it at that. You seem to forget, so narrow-minded because you're strict. Your memory is only short-term. It was just 4 years ago when it was the other way around. So the NBA has a way of coming back around. And if you're around, we'll say who's your daddy as well. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with Magic Man Sean Grice and me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got wall-to-wall coverage, of course, starting with the pregame tomorrow. And then, of course, leading into the best post game that's out there for the Lakers Fast Break. Sean, again, they're still listed as out, but, you know, Shams seems set on this report, which Joe hates, and Jovan seems, and their, you know, McTen seems set on their reports, which said Shams was on Christian, and McTen was on Vanderbilt, saying both may be available for game three. So I'm not going to say yes or no as of yet. I'll retweet it out, everyone, their official status at Lakers Fast Break. Follow me there and you'll be able to get the scoop on that. But be that as it may, 6 points, as Joe was saying, from a bench is absolutely horrid. And to come at the worst possible time for the Lakers. Again, there's a myriad of reasons why the Lakers lost. That's just one of them. But they've got to play better at home, and they've got to do it in both game three and game four starting tomorrow.
Imperative. If you can, you need to come out strong again. And I will say this, if you're up after the first quarter again, that's three times in three games that you've managed to outscore the Denver Nuggets in the first quarter. And you better win that this time, Gerald, because when they got swept the first time, they were playing behind all four games. They were playing from behind. You were actually playing ahead. Look, Gerald, at there are 30 NBA arenas. Would you say at least they're a top five most difficult place to play in?
Oh, quite absolutely. I mean, yeah. We saw given today at OKC. It's a great place to go ahead if you're an OKC fan. I mean, they're very supportive and it's very loud there. So MSG, yeah,
definitely. And you know, that is a real hostile barn box. But they they also don't have the built-in advantage of the elevation and the altitude.
Alan, we didn't ignore. I mentioned the ISO ball in two previous days. My God, man, did I not say, Sean, that there's a myriad of reasons why the Lakers are down 0-2? And haven't we mentioned ISO ball? Come on, Alan, you're here every time you hear me say this.
Gerald mentioned it after game one and game two.
Yes.
Specifically.
Oh, Paco is trying to really troll Joe. So I don't know if he's doing a good job because Joe looks really concerned right now. Not.
Yeah, Joe could care less.
Since Joe got scared, don't want to put his money where his mouth is.
It's nice that you at least got better in your vocabulary.
Okay, Joe, I will give you the Nuggets and I will take the Lakers with the spread.
I'll take the rapist for 400.
Jeez Louise.
Sorry, therapist.
Oh my God. Sorry, Google. Sorry, YouTube.
Like I said, there's skanks all over YouTube. I can't joke about a video that's been played on YouTube on SNL. Come on. Quit being so soft, Gerald.
Cuz. You know why, Joe. I run the channel, and I'm waiting for Google to one day come knocking on my door and say...
I was thinking of the other one, but that's even worse than what Joe said.
This time on you, Gerald. I'm going to have to shut you down one of these days. But you haven't reached that date.
I was thinking of the other one, but that's even worse than what Joe said.
Yes. Bloodhound says, I'll take album covers for $400.
I'll take Japan-U.S. relations for $400.
Those were awesome sketches, absolutely awesome sketches. Those were really good sketches, but it is the Lakers fast break.
The great Norm MacDonald. Yeah, that's not my name.
Huh? Yeah, that's true. Yep.
That's funny guy. My name.
Burt Reynolds. He was really funny as Burt Reynolds. Absolutely. But Magic Man, let's go ahead and finish.
No, that's correct.
Just the befuddled look on Will Ferrell's face.
Come on, Chirbuck. Come on.
Yeah, your mother. That was a good one, Bloodhound.
Your mother.
I'll take shorts for 200.
I'll take your mother for 100, Alex.
But anyways, Sean.
I'll tell you what, my friend.
That sounded like Gerald trying to do a Sean Connery.
V is a Roman numeral.
Shut up, Joe. No bet, Joe. Paco. Whatever.
How about we bet for our lives?
You know what, Gerald? And look, we've been talking about this. It's not that topsy turvy from 4 years ago. The Lakers had slightly better talent than the Nuggets did in 2019-2020. Except for one game, all those games were close. And except for one game last year in the Western Conference Finals, all those games were close. It's just some teams have just better talent than you do. Perfect example, if you're watching the NHL playoffs right now, the LA Kings have a very good hockey team. They're going to be back in championship contention in at least 2 years, but they're not good enough to beat the Edmonton Oilers, who have Connor McDavid, McJesus of the NHL, the best player in the world.
They're tied now, going in overtime.
The LA Kings had the lead, Gerald.
That's true. Could be, but
it's just goes to show you the space between the great teams and the good teams is very slim, Gerald and Joe. And we all know this. It's just who executes better in crunch time when you're in the pressure cooker and things get a little hotter, a little more intense. Like Joe says, your muscles get a little tight, right? And who's able to take a breath and relax. And, you know, the game's going to start tomorrow 0-0, Gerald. It's not as if the Nuggets are going to have a 12-point lead to start the game. You're down 0-2. It's game three. It's in L.A. Tip-off, it's going to be 0-0. Need to approach it one possession, one quarter at a time. Not get too ahead of yourself. Because one thing we do know is that Denver thinks they do have, at least their fans do. I think those guys in that locker room really do think they have a psychological edge.
So I ask you, Joe, let's just say a chance upon all chances that Vanderbilt does get the green light. Not Wood yet. We would obviously know Wood maybe buys you 5 minutes, 10 minutes max on Jokic. But who does Vando guard if he comes back? Remember, you flash back to last year at the World
Michael Porter Jr.
You wouldn't have him on Murray?
No.
Okay. 18 of 48, you can't say that they haven't done a bad job on Murray in the first two games.
No, and I think Murray's hurt also a little bit. I think he's playing through pain. But the length is the issue with Michael Porter Jr. I'd say if there's been a that's been killing us the last two series, it's Michael Porter Jr. And when you look back at 2020, he was injured in that series, most of that series. He's the problem. KCP had a good game in game one. He's been a problem even in the series before last year. But Michael Porter Jr. is the one that three that he hit right before things started getting crazy. That was the killer. That was the one that I think really got Denver into that mode of, oh man, we're going to get this.
So you got Paco to the left of you, and you've got Ghost 1980 to the right of you. So idiot on one hand and dumbass on the other. So Joe, before I head it back over to Magic Mad, any
Ghost,
words of
Ghost guidance? Sounds like somebody I know. He's probably somebody I know. I have a good feeling it is.
And you're not even doing a good job of it, Ghost.
No, and that's why I know.
You want to see me? You want to see three grown men cry? Because we're going to be crying because we're laughing at your dumbass because your lame comments on this show.
Well, again, I don't.
Because you're so
maybe
dumb.
They weren't hugged enough growing up. I don't maybe. Really. At some point, the
have fun in mom's basement.
At some point, the banter becomes kind of useless. So it's better to make sure that they don't exist.
Who?
Insignificant people.
Okay, fair enough. But this is, of course, the Lakers fast break. Magic Man, I'll bring it back over to you. Are there any other key matchups tomorrow that you're looking at as far as the Lakers and the Nuggets? I mean, obviously, we've talked about Rui. We've talked about the execution on the layups. We've talked about the bench needing to go ahead and produce more than 6 points and a whole bunch of donuts. Reeves, hopefully he can get you something more consistent, yet still playing pretty damn good defense on Jamal Murray. I mean, you got what you needed from D'Lo. I don't know how much more you should be expecting from D'Lo, but AD in the fourth quarter, he's got to have enough energy to give you something more. I think that's another, him and LeBron have to have a little bit more wind and figure you, as the coach, you have to figure out a way to get them a little bit more energy heading into the fourth.
Yeah, Gerald. So a couple things. One, I think you need to switch it up a little bit. I understand. I would personally make sure that at any point in time, if that switch happens between, you know, Aaron Gordon being on Anthony Davis, that you make it assertive for everybody on that court to get Aaron Gordon in screen and roll or pick and roll situations, because he is one of the worst defenders guarding the pick and roll or screen and roll against guards. He's prone to foul. He can get himself in foul trouble because he's not a disciplined defender. He uses his physicality well to get decent footwork. But one thing Aaron Gordon is not is disciplined. So if you can take advantage of that off screen rolls or pick and rolls, because I have a feeling that Michael Malone's just going to try and go back to that. And personally, Gerald, if AD's not going to assert himself, then somebody else needs to take the flame and carry it to be assertive. And maybe somebody gets the gumption to see if LeBron is in ISO for about 2 or 3 possessions in a row to say, hey man, I know you want to headhunt. It's your thing. You want to look for the mismatches, but there's a time and a place, and the time is not now. And the place is running our offense. Like set plays, not this drifting, realigning to the left or to the right, staying in the lane, going 100 down the road, not getting off. Ham's watched that happen twice. And I don't give a rat's crap that he watches film and wants to make himself feel better, that they can make adjustments. Make adjustments in the moment, fool. That's what your job is. That's what you get paid. What's his salary, Gerald? $4 million? That's what you get paid $4 million for, is to make adjustments in the moment and to be able to focus. Not to watch film and, oh, yeah, well, we missed on that one. Oh, we should have done this and there. That's not the time and place. And by the way, Gerald, it's unbelievable to me that you need to watch film afterwards. It's not as if they have iPads and the video in the moment. where, you know, you can actually see it on the iPad and adjust accordingly. This is the man who once made the comment, "I don't understand why Laker fans live and die off every game." Well, here you are, down 0-2. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because the cream rises to the top. Are you going to rise or are you going to fall?
Wanted to hit up.
We were 0-2 last year at home against them. Let's try and go for a victory in game three at least. Give yourself a chance. And the other adjustment, Gerald, try and find a way to limit one of the other's opportunities. I don't care who it is, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., hell, Christian Braun, limit one of them, because it always seems that Michael Porter Jr. gets open looks more than any other against the Lakers that I've seen since, Jeff Hornacek. That, you know, we're going back a ways, but yeah, this guy has really had our number as far as one of the others is concerned. I'd like to see him have a bad game.
Paco, check our shows out for the entire year and realize we've been asking Ham to be fired for a long time, you idiot. So shut up. Know what you're talking about before you say it, dumbass. But anyways, Joe, let me ask you this. There was a good question that was put in there by Chris in between all the just junk that's been put in there by those idiots. I want to go ahead and just ask real quick. Do you increase the minutes for LeBron AD? AD and LeBron was 44 and 42 minutes, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in game one, and 39 and 38 in game two. I mean, LeBron playing 45 minutes, Chris, you see already he tires out after 35 minutes, and he just doesn't have the lift on his shots. You've seen him late in fourth quarters in both games really get gassed. I don't know what more of a purpose it serves by having him play more minutes. You saw him getting totally exhausted in game one as well. So, Joe, in regards to the minutes, if the Lakers go down to 0-3, or even if they're in a crunch time in the close game tomorrow, do you extend the minutes for LeBron and AD?
You could, but you're not going to get LeBron moving in the end. That's what seems to happen in these games, especially against Denver. He loses the juice once he starts hitting the 40-minute mark. If you want him to play that long, you're going to have everyone else around him play very, very well to win the game.
Yep.
And that's it. There's too much to say at this point about what will work, what won't work. Just stop missing layups and stop playing ISO ball when you don't have to. Stop being mentally lazy. This is a very mentally lazy team with a coach that doesn't know how to pop that open.
And to your point, one of the things, guys, that they've been burned on in both game one and game two, which has come back to haunt them, is the things that have haunted them all year, like giving up too many offensive rebounds. In both games, Denver has had the advantage of it. And also, as well, something that the Lakers did do pretty good at, turnovers, they're not doing as well this time around. So they have committed more turnovers by a pretty good margin over Denver. So those are lost possessions, Magic Man. Those are things that you can do to rectify itself by making smarter plays, making sharper passes, putting a body on Jokic or whoever's underneath to get that rebound. These are things that coaches should be emphasizing more of. And if you get just those things shored up, that could go a long way with beating the Nuggets in game three.
Absolutely, Gerald. And, I think that's one of the positives that Lakers fans sort of need to take away. If Vanderbilt does play, is that he still is 6'9". He's got length like a velociraptor. He could still get in those passing lanes and be a disruptor, even if he's been out 8 weeks. His length is still there. His prowess is still there. So if you can gain a couple extra possessions or steals or deflections, that's what he's good at. I think it's imperative that Ham and AD, along with LeBron, emphasize that to Vanderbilt. If he's out on the floor, just play your basic game defensively. You know, we know Jared Vanderbilt is a capable backside rebounder. We know he's very capable of disrupting passing lanes. And, you know, when he is healthy, he can disrupt time and space. It's just, it's good. That's going to be rusty. And I don't think it'll be there for the foreseeable future. But regardless, like you said, just play your basic game. And I think Vanderbilt can create a couple turnovers here and there. And you never know. That could end up being the difference, especially late in the game, if you have somebody else out there like that. I mean, at the very least, Gerald, if you have one of the three bigs out there, you can match that with AD, Vanderbilt, and LeBron and or Rui. Because now all of a sudden AD's on Jokic. LeBron would likely be on Porter Jr. or Aaron Gordon, and maybe you can have both Rui and Vando out there for defensive purposes, especially with a 6'9 shooting guard like KCP out there. I mean, at the very least, what you have with Vanderbilt is you can match length for length. Now, will Ham do that? I'm skeptical. That being said, he's capable because he does have a functioning brain. He just doesn't use it all the time, but we know it's functional.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. So, Joe, we head in tomorrow. I mean, if there ever was a must-win game this entire season, tomorrow's it, man. No more blaming, excuses, anything of that nature. And again, we've talked about all season long how if they ever met up against the Nuggets, it was always going to be an uphill battle. We always talked about how if the Lakers went up there, they were going to lose. We were encouraged by the late season performance of the Lakers. But again, we've always been realistic on this show, something that some individuals who just joined our show haven't been able to check out and obviously need to. But your thoughts heading into tomorrow's must game, game three. The Lakers.
We're going to ask the Lakers to stop doing the bad things they've been doing all year. Missed layups, terrible offensive strategy throughout a 48-minute game in 10, 12 minutes of those 48 minutes. Bad shot selections. Bad court balance with the ability to box out and get rebounds. So will they finally grab that out of Darvin Ham's pocket and finally stop doing it since he's got all these tricks up his pockets or his sleeves or whatever it is that he has?
Who said on this panel that KCP was 6'9"? Because they keep saying there's been several comments to that.
Gerald, you can't say he's not.
No, KCP is 6'5".
That you don't know. Some people believe he is. Some people say he is, and you have to agree with it.
No, I won't, but okay.
Yeah you will. Otherwise you're racist.
What?
Yes, exactly. I said it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is listed at 6'5", according to the NBA.
It's wrong. They're racist too.
Okay. Well, I'm not racist, but all right. What's up, Diggs? How you doing? Game three is tomorrow. We'll be able to cover it for you all on the Lakers Fast Break. Magic Man, you're on
mute. I love when Magic talks and it's on mute.
Yeah, exactly. It's like silent movie. Go ahead, Magic Man. I am muted.
Yeah, and Jose Alvarado is listed as 6 feet tall. He's 5'9", if he's 6 feet tall. Okay. So We've gone over this before. Mm-hmm. More times than not, Alan, and I know it's you, Alan. Shaq was once 400 pounds when he played in the NBA. And look back, he was never listed as 400 pounds.
Okay. All right. Well, that's crazy, but okay. I'm just having fun messing with Ghost 1980. I'm putting him on timeout for 10 seconds each and every time. It's fun. I like it. It's a nice toy. Love messing with him. Paco,
I bet Paco lives in Fort Collins too.
Well, I don't want to go there. That's not
good. Oh, I'm going there.
I don't care if people are on. You know, we have great members that come here that support other teams. Frank, Reggae Joe. Congrats to his OKC Thunder, by the way, up 2-0, by the way. Actually, just before we headed out, I wanted to go ahead to put us in a little bit better mood, Magic Man. And Nick described it for us in email, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. For you, you might be partying and celebrating tonight because of the Celtics' loss to the Miami Heat. The undermanned, injured Miami Heat tonight, pretty soundly. On 23 threes, I think it was, Magic Man?
Mm-hmm.
That's after the Celtics dropped 22 in game one.
Mm-hmm.
If Miami wins game three...
Mm-hmm.
The East will show itself again.
Yeah.
To be a fraud of a conference. And in the end, that's going to be the big one for Laker fans, is we got that there has to be a team that takes out the Celtics, no matter who it is. Preferably, it would be nice to have them bounce out before they get to the finals. Because if the Nuggets do indeed beat the Lakers, I believe they will go on to the finals, barring any major injury.
Well, we'll definitely see. But it is, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate you joining us. And then, of course, don't forget to catch us tomorrow, starting with the pregame. And hopefully Playback will be working for us. Playback.tv slash Lakers Fast Break. Stop on by, chat with us. I'll hopefully be able to go ahead and post the scoreboard and chat on Facebook and YouTube as well. And then the best Lakers post game that's out there is, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. And Ghost 1980 says, unblock me. I'll subscribe and give you a thumbs up. We're 1,550 strong. So I think we can go without one to go ahead and subscribe to us. So I'm going to give you an extra timeout. Now, if you do want to subscribe to us anyways, that's great. Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it. But if you haven't liked and subscribed yet, please do so today to get the latest notifications when we go live, the latest Lakers Fast Break. So Magic Man, I'm going to take you off mute. Any last thoughts, my friend, before we head it over to Joe and we head it on out?
Yeah. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers. All right. And you, Joe?
Win the game, win the game, win the game.
In the game, there you go.
Was that good enough?
Yeah,
that's kind of weak, huh?
Yeah, that was for you, coming from you. Yes, yes. Get something better?
No. There's no more words to describe 10 straight losses. I'm gonna watch tomorrow's game, waiting for the Lakers to have more points at the end of the game. I don't care what happens; they have to have more points at the end of the game. That's it.
Oh, Sports Baby, that's right. I can't believe. Well, excuse me, Sports Baby, for forgot every fan on the show's affiliation. So I apologize. You are up 1-1. I mean, you're tied 1-1 heading back into Indiana, Sports Baby. So you should be happy with that. So,
Paco, I don't know who you are to bet you. Go away. Bet. Who the hell are you?
Actually, Ghost.
How the hell am I going to collect when I win, too? What, you're going to come to my house?
Caitlin Clark is in Indiana now, so it's actually pretty nouveau riche as far as basketball is concerned, Ghost.
And how can you say they're tied 1-1 heading back to Indiana?
They've got Tyrese Halliburton for their men's team and Caitlin Clark on their WNBA squad. So Indiana's
Pascal Siakam has been blowing up, imagine.
Yeah, so Ghost, go Ghost yourself.
Yeah. PayPal. Yeah, sure. How about I send you my, you know, routing number too while I'm at it?
Oh, man. These guys can't even troll good. But once again, it is the Lakers fast break. You guys, Paco and Ghost, you bore me to death. But the rest of the fans out there on our awesome chat, you are the best chat room that's out there. It's the Lakers fast break. You saying, no, I didn't say anything. I just said that they're tied 1-1 heading in Indiana. Don't put words.
No, I said the Pacers are going to win it all.
You said the Pacers are going to win it all.
What are you going to do about it? Threaten me over the chat room?
Guys are crazy. You guys are the ones that hung out with us. So, you know what? There you go. I don't know why you're not hanging out with your own fan interactions, but hey, if you're not, we're glad you're here. It is the Lakers fast break.
Because the Denver Nuggets aren't a brand. They're not a brand. Nobody cares about the Denver Nuggets outside of the Denver Nuggets. Even people in Denver don't give a rat's ass about the Denver Nuggets. Guess what? Tomorrow's a draft. You know what's going to be the front page story, Ghost and Paco? Who are the Broncos taking in the draft? It's not going to be about if the Nuggets are going to be up 3-0 on the Lakers. I can tell you that right now. By the way, the Colorado Avalanche are playing back at home, so they're going to take half of those headlines too. Then the Denver Nuggets are talked about. You guys are like Danny DeVito and Twins. You're the other stuff. That's what the Denver Nuggets are. The other stuff in Denver sports.
Which makes sense. What are chicken nuggets, right? Let's talk about it. They're called the Nuggets. Well, you ever seen how nuggets are made? It's pressed chicken from like 50,000 different chickens and ligaments and BS, right? And then they spit it out, fry it, and then Cool Bro eats it. There you go. Realities of life. We're not just a basketball Lakers show. We have other interests.
We're esoteric.
What did you say one time? Infotainment?
Yes.
Or edutainment?
I think Joe said edutainment.
Edutainment?
I don't say those kind of words.
Yeah, you did.
That's a Sean Grice term.
I think it was Joe that said it, but all right. Be that as it may.
Well, that's what happens when you think.
Well, do you want to get started on trolling each other? We do a great job of that.
I'm not trolling you. I'm telling you the truth.
Shut up, Joe. It is, of course, the Lakers fast break. It is Joe Soro, Magic Man Sean Grice, and me, Joe Glassford. Thanks again for listening.
Yeah, the Bears have the first pick, and they're going to screw it up again. They're going to get Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is going to make Jamarcus Russell look like Dan Marino. I can't wait. Oh, they're building a $5 billion stadium, though. So good for you, Chicago. The entire city's burning down, and no one's going to the White Sox games. But, hey, let's build a $5 billion stadium, right?
Yeah, with no dome.
Have a good night, Ghost. Have a good night, Paco, and everybody out there. Alan, of course.
I'll be fall through a manhole, Ghost. Thank you.
Sports Baby Down Under, truly appreciate you joining us always. Keenan on Facebook, great to have you here. Also as well, of course, Alan, like I said, see you tomorrow, my friend, on Playback. Chris, great questions. Everybody else in the chat room, just truly
Keenan, how many times are you going to tell us the Lakers are embarrassing? We got it the first 13 times you said it in the last 10 minutes. Come on, bring something new in. Football's a great sport. You can't say screw football. Come on. You can say screw Roger Goodell and the NFL sometimes, but come on, football's a great sport. Don't say what, Sports Baby? What'd I say? Oh, I'm not cracking on the Bears. I'm cracking on management and ownership. And the city, by the way.
Sports Baby, it's your own team's fault. You picked Mitchell Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
True, but we picked JHS over Triple J.
It's not
the Bears. That's the Bears.
But yeah, it's still not
the same, Gerald. You just
not
just
quite the same.
Ruined that whole thing that Sean. Was
well, talking. I care about the Lakers.
That nice you guys, shit on everything.
I don't care about the NFL. Great point. I don't care about the NFL.
It was a brilliant delivery by Sean. NFL.
This is and a Lakers like, show.
The Lakers got Sam Jacobson in 1998.
I care about
instead
the Lakers. Kiss my ass, Joe. I care about the Lakers. I don't care about the NFL until it comes down to fantasy football. And I win some more money like I did. I win the league last year, and I'll hopefully win it again. But it is the Lakers fast break. I care about the Lakers. I'm still pissed off that Triple J is playing on the Heat and not on the Lakers, but we'll deal with that. Or Cam Whitmore, or Podziemski, or Trace Jackson Davis, or all these good rookies that the Lakers didn't get that could help in the playoffs now. But is the Lakers fast break? It is, of course, Joe Soro, Sean Grice, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully for a better game 3, but we'll see. It is the Lakers at home against the Denver Nuggets, game 3. And we'll find out what happens. And, of course, we'll tell you all about it. And take all the heat, take all the fun, take all the trolling, take all the yum, yum, yum right here on the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.